Before I get started this week, I want to give a big shout out to Jeannie Colwin Coaching. Jeannie Colwin is a highly respected and heart-centered stress and TMS coach based in Los Angeles. She was a burnt-out high school teacher who battled chronic TMS symptoms for years, including fibromyalgia, insomnia, anxiety, depression, chronic fatigue, and digestive issues. Simply put, she gets it. Especially the frustration of feeling like you're doing all the right things, implementing all the tools, and still not getting the results that you deserve. If this is you, I encourage you to book a free introductory call to learn more about Jeannie's results-driven one-on-one coaching program. On this call, she'll identify specific barriers that are getting in the way of you fully healing and thriving. Jeannie's a ninja at unraveling blocks like subconscious negative beliefs, fearful thought patterns, or unfelt emotions, all crucial for living a pain-free life. She gets impressive outcomes with both women and men. And for all you men out there, I know we can sometimes think more effort and logic will fix the problem. Unfortunately, that just doesn't work sometimes. Jeannie will work through a deeper process that gets underneath the pain for good. Go to jeanniecolwin.com. That's JeannieKulwin.com to book your free call. While you're on her site, you'll find a wealth of info, including recordings of her multiple appearances on this podcast. Check her out. She's super cool. Again, jeanniecolwin.com. Welcome back to the show. It is Thursday, June the 27th. Which means it is the day of the launch of season 3 of The Bear on Hulu, and I highly recommend you check it out if you have not. It's fantastic. But before I get into the show, I want to make sure that I thank the patrons of the podcast. If you're interested in supporting the show, go to patreon.com/ The Mind and Fitness Podcast and consider throwing a few bucks in the tip jar, as I say. Leslie, Mary, Teresa, Albert, Jeff, Julie, Deborah, Daniel, Elise, Dominic, John, Jason, Irina, Kelly, Tony, Michael, Christina, Julie, Brian, Sarah, Arnie, and Barb are all contributors of the show, and some of them as far as 6 years back, which is Arnie and Barb. So thank you all for continuing to support the podcast. Again, it's patreon.com/ The Mind and Fitness Podcast. So as I sit here, I'm recording this on Wednesday, June the 26th, and our fiscal year for my day job ends in 2 days, and there's a couple of clients that are stragglers that are out there, and I'm just hoping that they can turn this thing around and help me meet my goals. But as my VP said just a couple of days ago, hey, in a week and a half, nobody's going to remember what you even did this year. So I don't know whose idea it was to have the fiscal year end the same week that school gets out for the kids, and you know, life gets kind of even more crazy, but here we are. So nevertheless, it's been a while since I've kind of sat down and just did a, hey, I'm going to talk to you kind of an episode. And about 2.5 weeks ago, I posted in my Facebook group, the Mind and Fitness Podcast, The Leaders of Pain, hey, what are a couple of TMS-ish topics or pieces that you'd like talked about in an upcoming show? And so that's what I am going to talk about today. But one thing I wanted to throw out as a recommendation, so Jeremy Whitaker was on this podcast a few weeks ago, but he was also on years ago. And I love everything that he has to say and talk about. His website, mindfulcures.com, is tremendous, but he's such an eloquent writer. And he recently dropped, I think it was 2 days ago, this read called How to Tackle Conditioned TMS Chronic Symptom Recurrence Triggers. And it's fascinating. So I would highly recommend going to check his stuff out. His content is free, and he's got a really nice long track record of success in this. He's an athlete, and it's good to see him contributing. So, but today, basically, so I got quite a few replies, and I did it. I posted that question in a couple of different groups. And so what I would like to do is I'm going to pick a couple of these comments at, whoops, hold on. I thought I had them both picked up, but I did not. Okay, there we go. So one post in one group got 43 comments, and then another one got 14 or 15 or something like that. So I'm just going to pick a couple of these, and then we'll roll through. So let's see here. Let me kind of scroll through these for a second. Fibromyalgia and why symptoms move around compared to other TMS diagnoses. So this is from Emily. Fibromyalgia has been talked about probably about as much as anything in Dr. Sarno's books. And he goes through and talks about fibromyalgia specifically and sort of the nuance of it in healing back pain. And he may have in his other ones too. But I think there's like 16 specific pressure points or something with fibromyalgia. And TMS has I think they have like 8 specific pressure points. And of course, all those cross back and forth. So 8, you know, half of the fibromyalgia recognized ones are TMS recognized ones too. And I think that he had said that he had postulated that those pressure points for fibromyalgia are just the most concentrated areas of muscle tension and tightness that occur because of TMS. And so I'm guessing that if you're asking this question that you haven't read a Sarno book yet, and I would encourage you to do so. But you can also go to the TMS wiki, just Google that, and there's a success stories database, and it's got a large section on fibromyalgia, and I would encourage you to go check that out. I've had people on this podcast that have had that before and have talked about it, so I'll say, hey, check those couple of things out. And while I say that, I've got the Mariners game on. They're playing in Tampa right now, and the game began at 9:10 Pacific time, and Cal Raleigh just had a 2-run home run. We've been playing very poorly for a couple of weeks now, and as the season ticket holder, it hurts me to see that. But I think there's still 5 games up in the West, and we're going on Saturday for my wife's birthday. And yeah, okay. Let's look at a couple of here. Symptom imperative. Oh, this is from Carolina. Not sure how it's pronounced. Symptom imperative. Doing the work, showing the indifference, and still getting different symptoms. One leaves, another comes. So that podcast that I, or not podcast, that blog that I plugged a couple of minutes ago, mindfulcures.com, talks about this very specific thing and the symptom imperative essentially. And I can sum it up for you in sort of like a TLDR, too long didn't read. But a lot of what Jeremy talks about in here is that he had figured out a way to sort of tackle these TMS symptoms. You know, like in one way, if you've got these pain problems and your back hurts, and then you go and see the chiropractor and your back doesn't hurt, and then your foot hurts the next day, and then kind of so on and so forth. So instead of doing that, you've now gotten into a system of, okay, my back hurts, so now I'm going to journal and figure out whatever my emotional problem is, then that goes away. But then you get this new problem, and what can you do to, instead of kind of doing that ping pong machine, what instead can you do to get over the condition response? Because that's really what a big piece of it is. And ultimately, the solution to the problem is outcome independence. But that's a difficult thing for a lot of people to be able to grasp. And outcome independence, if you don't know, is, hey, whatever happens is going to happen, and I'm fine regardless of what happens. So for instance, if I'm going to go on a 10-mile run today and my foot hurts, maybe my foot will hurt more at the end of the run, or maybe it will, maybe it won't, but I'm going to go do the run regardless. And so that is... that's your feeling and your thought and kind of where your head is at is independent of whatever that outcome is. So that's what outcome independence is. And that goes hand in hand with condition responses. And that's what Jeremy's blog is about. So go to mindfulcures.com and see what he had to say about that. Okay, let's see here. How to deal with goodism in our personality. So this is a great topic. And this is from Maureen. One of my challenges forever is that I want to be Batman, right? I want to be the Dark Knight. So the things that really throw me for a loop are injustice or people acting with less character than I feel like they should. And I think that's a big part of it, the I feel part and the should part. But it's a perception thing. So I attempt to do the right thing and to be good as often as I possibly can. How to deal with goodism in our personality. I don't think it's so much as having to deal with goodism, meaning I don't think it's you have to stop being Batman or you have to deal with being Batman or whatever, but instead being able to recognize that parts of you are the Joker and parts of you are the villain, parts of you are Bane, and that's okay. Like that's the whole hook, line, and sinker is I am also this way and that's okay. So being able to recognize that as good as you may be, as all the good deeds that you may do, you volunteer at a hospital, you volunteer at your kid's school, you help old ladies across the street, you're kissing babies, you're doing all that kind of stuff. Recognizing that you don't have to remove those parts of your personality, but you also have to know that everybody has the evil side in them. Some would call it the id. Everybody has this inside of them, and just knowing that it's there and just needs to be heard or wants to be heard, and that's okay. So that's what I would say in terms of dealing with goodism. Being overweight, not successful at losing weight. This is from Tina. Being overweight, I just know it's connected to my brain. So you are absolutely correct. There was a really amazing podcast. So I've had somebody on my show before, Lisa Schlossberg. She's fantastic. Sort of has like my dream job or dream gig or dream background, if you will. So she has the clinical psychotherapist background, but she also has the personal trainer, fitness guru background. She had a guy on her show a couple of weeks ago, John Gabriel, who's like a weight loss expert. He goes into this exact thing. He talks about being overweight. He was like 200 pounds overweight and the mind-body connection. I encourage you to go find that interview. It's one of the best ones I've heard on any TMS-related podcast or outlet. So find Lisa Schlossberg's podcast, Out of the Cave, the Out of the Cave podcast, I think is the full name. But John Gabriel was interviewed on there, and he was great. I've skimmed through some of his book. It's actually free on his website. It's called The Gabriel Method. But a lot of what he talks about is he tells this really great story in that about how he worked on Wall Street for 10 years, him and a buddy of his. In that 10-year time, he gained 200 pounds. All of his stresses and all that stuff that, you know, the aggravation and the stress that comes along with having that kind of a job, he never let anybody see him sweat, but he gained 200 pounds, right? So never, you know, never processed anything, did anything like that. He said there was a guy on his team, same workload, same caseload, all that kind of stuff, exploded on everybody, did not gain the same weight. And oftentimes they would be doing exactly the same things. And so he talks about the ability to experience what you're feeling and be able to laser in on that. The other thing that he talks about that I think is really interesting, because this is the mind-body connection and something that I've really implemented myself since I heard that interview about 3 weeks ago, is just kind of changing up some of my diet habits, trying to really be in tune with, like, am I actually hungry, or am I bored, or is my brain think I'm hungry even though I'm not really that hungry? And kind of giving it like a second thought. It doesn't take hardly any time at all, but giving it really like a second thought before I walk into the kitchen. And what I have found is that A has eliminated a lot of the cravings that I've had in the past with, you know, different sweets or even just different things in general. And also, like, it's had me craving more fruits and vegetables, which I know inherently, like, we sort of all have all said since we were kids, like, those are the things that we should be eating a lot of. But for whatever reason, taking that extra couple of minutes and just thinking about, am I actually hungry, or is this sort of a habit, has just kind of changed the way that I've thought about food and felt in terms of hunger. So it's been an interesting process, but I would say to go listen to that John Gabriel interview because I think it's great. Tina comes back. Also, tense muscles, sciatica, piriformis, Achilles. So a lot of these places that you're talking about in there, these are very common spots. And somebody commented to that, psoas, the pelvic floor. So the psoas is ultimately known as, like, sort of the bridge to your brain, and that a lot of the emotional tension that you have, people will have in their psoas. So you don't necessarily need to do anything with the muscle itself, but being able to put yourself in a better emotional state of well-being ultimately is going to make those things calm down. In Sarno's book specifically, he talks a lot about sciatica and a lot about piriformis syndrome. Piriformis syndrome was sort of the first real symptom that really knocked me on my ass because it gave me sciatica. And I used a bunch of different stretches to stretch the piriformis when it happened, and that made the pain go away. But then a day or two later, started getting intense back and neck spasms. So, you know, sort of pick your poison or choose your fighter, basically. Debbie says, how others make it work for them. It's so independent, and I'm going to get into this in a couple of seconds, but the vernacular and how people describe mind-body syndrome or mind-body symptoms is really pivotal. So one person could listen to Dr. Sarno and think they sound completely different from Nicole Sachs or Howard Schubiner or Alan Gordon or whatever. But then other people, I sort of sit on the outside and I say, no, like, literally all these people are saying exactly the same thing. They're just using slightly different words. And so just understanding that, hey, like, others can make it work for them in a certain way, but what's good for one is not necessarily good for the other. So for instance, maybe you've tried journaling and journaling doesn't seem to work for you. You just have a lapse with it. So maybe there's something else that can work for you. This is where somebody like Dani Fagan is really super helpful. I encourage you to find her on Instagram, but she's a wealth of knowledge on this space and sort of has a lot of different types of people and resources on her website, be it from yoga all the way to somebody like Pain Free You with Dan Buglio or whatever, Nicole Sachs or whatever. So I think it's just finding a message that really speaks to you, Debbie. And, you know, feel free to send me a message or an email, eddie@themindandfitnesspodcast.com, and maybe tell me a little bit about your personality. And I'm happy to give you some suggestions on, hey, whose voice may resonate with you based on the person that you are. I don't need a symptoms list or anything like that, but I'm guessing it's just a personality thing and that others will speak to you better than others. Burning mouth syndrome, and I see a lot about food allergies, but I don't see a lot about environmental allergies, so I'd love to hear more about those in relation to TMS. So Ben, burning mouth syndrome, Trish was on this podcast a couple of months ago. She had burning mouth syndrome. Go check that out. Nicole Sachs is, aside from her spondylolisthesis, burning mouth syndrome seems to be the symptom that she suffered from the most. So she has talked a lot about that on her show, and I would encourage you to go and check that out. As far as food allergies, or sorry, you said food allergies, but I don't see a lot about environmental allergies. Interesting thing. So I've talked about this on the show a lot. Prior to TMS work, I had several prescriptions for environmental allergies as well as asthma. So I took Singulair. It was a prescription, like a Claritin prescription, like an extra strength Claritin prescription. But then also an inhaler prescription. So I had three of these and I would refill them every 30 days. And then I think every, 3 months I'd have to go back and see the doctor again and, you know, whatever. But I found out about the Sarno stuff and I stopped those things cold turkey and I don't get the environmental allergies or the asthma anymore. I exercise every day. Doesn't matter how many sprints I do or how far I run. It just doesn't happen. Although I didn't focus on those things specifically, I focused on sort of the gamut of TMS healing. And sometimes that meant journaling and sometimes that meant breathing and sometimes that meant somatic tracking, whatever. But I never spent any time specifically focusing on environmental allergies and they went away. So give that some thought. A new interview with Steve Ozanich from Marjorie. She's suggesting that. I agree. It has been 7 years since I interviewed Steve Ozanich. If you're curious, I think he was episode 12 or 13. You can go way back in the archives. It was 320 episodes ago. And find the episode I did with Steve Ozanich. But yes, I should think about getting in touch with him. Joanna, the power of your words you use and self-image in your healing journey. So I think that this is important. The Curable app has this recommendation for people when they're talking about symptoms that instead of saying, my back hurts, or I have this symptom, or I have sciatica, or whatever, that instead you use the term bananas. And it's sort of using using the way that you talk or using certain words to sort of deprogram what you might visually see. And I think that self-image and image in general and visualization is a big key why, like, people that go and get imaging, even though it may say that you have a torn rotator cuff or a herniated disc or whatever, those people have very, very stubborn-like symptoms because now they have something visual that they can see. I've had some foot issues recently, and part of the reason that I haven't gone to get an x-ray to see if it's a stress fracture is that I don't know if I want to see what's on there, good idea, bad idea, whatever, doesn't really matter. But I think the power of the words are a big deal. I went golfing with an old friend of mine last week and she had mentioned that she couldn't walk very, very well right now. And I asked, what happened? What's up? And she said that she got plantar fasciitis in her left foot and went and got injections done. And that would have been a perfect time. Pre-TMS Eddie would have said, oh, my foot's been killing me too. But I did not. And so I think that not talking about them, like David Hanscom, when he would see patients, one of the things that he would say is you have to commit to 12 weeks of not talking about any symptom, like zero tolerance, can't talk about any symptom. And I think that's a big deal because a lot of us that have suffered from this stuff, chronic pain for a long time, have gone the way of talking about pain all the time. And that's the way that it is. So the more that you can reverse that, the more success you're going to have. I'm just going to mark where I was. Okay, the last one I am going to go to comes from Camilla, and recently discovered how she says her name. Shout out to Camilla. And I'd known her as Cammy in the short time I've interacted with her on social media. But then I remembered that, hey, this girl that I've been coaching soccer for years is Camilla. And I love Camilla. She is like she spent the spring off playing softball, and now she'll be back in the fall for soccer. And I can't wait because she's a badass. But Camilla talked about FND, which is functional neurologic. Let me make sure I'm saying it correctly. Functional neurologic disorder. And I did a little bit of research on this a few weeks ago. And what I've determined is that this is very similar to what I said earlier, where a lot of the TMS, the people in the TMS space are saying the same thing, just in a different way. This reads to me just like TMS. So what is functional neurologic disorder? Functional neurological disorder, neurological disorder refers to a neurological condition caused by changes in how brain networks work rather than changes in the structure of the brain itself. So that's like, that's a neurogenic, neuroplastic pain. In the first sentence, it's referring to that. So Dr. Schumacher refers to it as a neural circuit problem, but meaning like the circuits are just a little out of whack, as seen in many other neurological disorders. Physical symptoms of FND are genuine, but cannot be explained by changes in the brain structure. The exact cause of FND is unknown. When I was looking further into this, this also crossed over to conversion disorder, which is a TMS thing. And you'll see people that have this conversion disorder and then they have a spontaneous recovery. Some of the other things of symptoms that could happen is tremor, sudden, brief, involuntary twitching, involuntary muscle contractions, problems with their gait, posture, or balance, muscle spasms or stiffness, tics, leg and arm weakness, or paralysis. So it's idiopathic in the sense that physicians don't know what's causing it. And that sounds a lot like TMS to me too. And the fact that people can just can just recover spontaneously also very much points to TMS to me. So that's the best that I would say. And that's what I want to stick with because I think that's it. Camilla, we need to record. Camilla knows a lot about, she speaks a lot in the eating disorder realm, and I would love to have her on to chat a little bit. So this is me officially calling you out. Thank you for being here. There was quite a few questions that I didn't get to actually, but I did mark my spot. So there's a couple of handfuls more that I want to chat about. That being said, next week is the holiday, the 4th of July. I intend on getting an episode out, but we are going camping, so I guess we'll see. But I hope you're all doing great and you've had a good start to the summer. This has been the Mind and Fitness Podcast. We'll talk soon.